owner of the Browns having to defend himself that he was not involved, Pearl, in selecting Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round of the draft. Welcome to the show. Yeah. I don't know. I can't really believe it, because the fact of the matter is Jimmy Haslam says that there is a process about how they go about drafting quarterbacks. He is aware of the process, and to some extent, he's there kind of witnessing the process, and I don't think he's sitting there as a silent bystander. So, you know, we all know what it's like to have a boss, and if you don't have a boss, you know what it's like to have clients, or everyone has to answer to somebody. Mm-hmm. So if you're the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and yeah, your boss may not be there putting his thumb directly on the scale and saying, draft this guy, or sometimes they are, they can imply it. Because even if a guy says, I don't want to draft this person, which is well within your right if you're an owner, you could say, I don't want this guy representing my team. I think that's totally fair. So even if you just say, I don't want him, is that a tacit implying you should be drafting him or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. So it sounds like he's saying I had nothing to do with this pick, but you're putting out, and I agree, that there's a gray area.
Totally.
Where you could have subtle influence on it. I mean,
it's called, like, wielding soft power, right? I mean, isn't that they call it in diplomacy?
I think eventually Andrew Berry ends his stint in Cleveland and comes out and says that was Jimmy Haslam's pick. I don't even believe him because it doesn't make any sense. The problem, and I know that Cleveland reporters are saying to Berry, it just makes no sense why this GM, who has a good reputation around the NFL, would do this. Like, make it make sense then. If it's not the owner directive, then you have a GM who has a bizarre plan at the quarterback spot. Just strange.
So here is Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, at a press conference yesterday on the decision to draft Shedeur.
We have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's say we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
Okay, well, a couple follow-up questions I'd like there. You know, number one, he made the call. Like, yeah, somebody has to phone it in. And two, was there ever any discussion? Because clearly the owner's involved in this process, and that's fine, that's his right, but he's not watching film, he's not watching any tape. Was there ever a discussion about the business side and about just even implying what Shedeur may do in terms of eyeballs? And this, you know, yeah, if you had said Friday night that, you know, we would have been surprised, you know, if we drafted him. Well, it became the story of the draft, the later and the further this thing went on. And so whoever was going to draft Shedeur Sanders was going to get a lot of attention, a lot of headlines, and that's something that the Haslams love.
Oh, well, yeah.
They do.
You're probably right. I mean, okay, let's take him at face value for a second, though. I kind of get it, because I think you more so than me, like, it seemed like there was a distressed asset that was falling way too low in the draft, and there have been teams who've had success turning around quarterback draft picks. The Patriots with Jimmy G comes to mind. The Eagles were, under Andy Reid, were the kings of this. Every backup quarterback went for a second round pick. So maybe they, but in today's day and age, the thing about those two teams is they had Tom Brady and Donovan McNabb. Like, the Browns don't have a quarterback. So did they know, if not Jimmy, then didn't they know chaos was coming? What did they expect to happen here?
I think they courted the chaos. I think that Jimmy Haslam sees an opportunity here, right? I think that's, you know what they say about, I've heard this before, I don't speak Mandarin, so I don't know, but the same word in Mandarin for chaos is also opportunity. I've heard that before. I think that maybe he saw, like, listen, somebody is going to get major headlines, and be honest, maybe ticket sales, because what else are you selling here if you're the Browns? You're selling that you are easily the fourth team in this division. You know, you're selling what? You know, that we re-signed Myles Garrett? Okay, great. You know, that's good. We're re-signing, you know, look at the Deshaun mess. Look at what you did there.
Well, no, what 3-14 team is selling anything?
Well, that's
you're 3-14, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe a businessman like Jimmy Haslam saw an opportunity to, you know, jump on a craze, like something that was going to end up being a craze.
Now, he tried it with Johnny Football, and it didn't work. I don't disagree at all, but I'm just saying, like, he should have learned his lesson with Johnny Manziel. That philosophy never works.
Ironically, had it with Baker Mayfield, and they shipped him out.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I'm not sure they were headed for a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield.
But he's probably a top 10 quarterback.
In Tampa, I don't know in Cleveland if that was still going to be the case.
Well, went to a playoffs, won a playoff game, which is a lot for Cleveland. But here's Mary Kay Cabot, who we all respect very much. She got into the Hall of Fame. She's been coming to the Browns for a long time. She says it's disrespectful. This is on the Orange Brown and Orange pod. Says it's disrespectful to say Haslam made the Shador pick. Disrespectful to the GM, Andrew Berry.
I think it's almost disrespectful to Andrew, who has final say over these decisions. Andrew is the one driving the bus on this roster. That's what his job is. And I know that Jimmy is involved and he's part of the discussions, but he's not sitting there watching film and watching tape and trying to decide who can be on this football team and who can't be on this football team.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with Mary Kay there that it's not disrespectful to Andrew Berry because, again, we all have a boss, or we all know what it's like to have a boss. And sometimes the boss is going to influence what you do, whether it's hard power, soft power, whatever it is. It's not disrespectful to say Andrew Berry is just like almost 99% of America who has to navigate what it's like to try to do and execute the will of a boss.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. If you're telling me an NFL GM gets pushed around by his owner, that's not disrespectful?
Like, I don't think so.
If I told you Jeffrey Lurie told Howie Roseman to draft somebody, you'd be like, that's crazy.
Well, they're also, he's a Super Bowl champion GM, so maybe you can trust him a little bit more. Andrew Berry hasn't won jack squat.
But that's the ultimate sign of disrespect to a GM, is to say the owner made you pick him. Like, that's like the number one critique, right?
Well, but I just think that happens. Like,
it does on bad teams.
Okay, and what's this? Yeah. I'm sorry, Browns become the picture of, like, you know, how to run things in the NFL?
Right,
it's a reality. I guess maybe I see it a little bit differently. I just think I don't think it's a disrespect. I think it's a reality. And you have some owners that do it and some don't. Like we saw in Hard Knocks, offseason Hard Knocks with the Giants, right? John Mara clearly wanted Saquon Barkley back, but didn't use that power, right? Didn't say, you must re-sign him or else everyone's getting fired.
Saquon Barkley.
Didn't do it. I think Jimmy Haslam is somebody who would put his thumb on the scale more.
Yeah, and right. Like, that's clearly, without any doubt, the number one flaw of any disorganized franchise.
I agree.
The Cowboys, the Browns, the Jets. I mean, I personally would listen to the owner's sons. I think there's something there. I think that's
and
a new
the Madden
analytic
rating. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's better than the owner. Owners famously screw up, and in all sports, right? Like, if you see a team that's losing year after year, you immediately say, "Oh, is the owner getting down here?" And that seems to be the case in Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, that would be a horrible disrespect for Andrew Berry, no? To say that Jimmy Haslam made him do that pick?
Well, I just think it's a reality of life in the NFL. But here's a question for you. If you just zoom out on this, and we're talking about the Browns quarterback situation, shockingly, a bit of a mess. Who will be blamed more if this whole quarterback thing fails, right? Like, if Shador never becomes a thing, if Dylan Gabriel never becomes a thing, even backups. I'm not saying they have to win the Super Bowl, but they all flame out. Pickett's not there for a long time. Flacco's in his 17th season. He's not going to be around for very long. Are you going to you can add the Deshaun Watson thing into the mix, which we know Jimmy Haslam ponied up for that. You know, who do you think will wear this if this era of Browns football produces absolutely nothing?
100% the Haslams. I think Andrew Berry's going to leave there, and everyone's like, thank God you got out of there. I think this is all going to be about Cleveland. Because it goes, Berry got there in 2020. The 2010s Browns are maybe the most dysfunctional organization we've ever seen.
Right.
They won one game in 3 years. So yep. I think everyone's going to look at the color of the helmet and say, that is the problem.
I agree with you. However, can I float this? We were just talking last hour about Arch Manning, okay? And Arch Manning couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers, right? When you had these two guys in the building, Ewers was hurt at times, wasn't, you know, an amazing quarterback, good college quarterback, seventh round pick, you know, why couldn't he beat him out? If Andrew Berry is this mastermind GM, right, who is just so good at his job, but here are the Haslams holding him back, why hasn't another team tried to poach him? Why hasn't a better team with a better owner just come in and offered him to, you know, I'm sure they just re-upped their contracts last year. He and Stefanski both got contract extensions. Why sign it? If you can't do what you want, if the owner is disrespecting you or you feel the disrespect, like, why stay if you're so confident in your ability? Go somewhere else. Go run the Patriots. Go run the who's a good team.
So you're saying you think that Andrew Berry, who's won like at one winning season, who's going to be able to just name his GM
job.
Well,
you're saying that he's like that. He's not going to wear any of this. He's well thought of, and people think he's this great general manager.
No,
he's just being held back by the color of the helmet. Then why hasn't he gone somewhere else better?
Well, I don't think he's going to get a general manager job, but I think he's going to immediately get a personnel job. I think he's thought of well. I'm
but
not
that's
saying
a downgrade.
Yeah, 100%, of course. Okay. Yeah, but no, I think Andrew Berry is really well thought of around the league. I think he'll probably get an assistant GM somewhere the day he gets fired, which is
well, that's
totally
more
fine.
Disrespect than anything, no?
He's coming, he just had a 3-14 season. Oh, that's, I mean, no, I think that's fine, right? Like, what, did you expect him to go from number one pick in the draft to getting a run the Patriots?
No,
how would
I'm
that
just,
happen?
You're saying that, you know, he's not going to wear any of this because
I don't think so.
Because it's the helmet. Well, if he's not going to wear any of it, and people were giving him, including on this show, a lot of respect for pulling off the trade between Jacksonville and themselves to get that pick for next year, like, why not? Why haven't the great teams come calling for him? They can see, oh, you're just working for a bad owner. Come to my system.
I bet you he goes straight to the Eagles, who are because his brother, I think, is still there. His brother, who's a twin, and they look exactly the same. Mm. We saw him last year at the Super Bowl. Yep. I bet you he goes straight to one of the better teams in the league because he is very well thought of.
That's fine. But if he's not, if he's going to get it down, okay. Well, anyway, we can go around and around
about
this.
But no. I mean, like, yeah.
I think he's going to wear it. Even though I think Jimmy Haslam is a meddling owner, I still think that Andrew Berry is going to wear some of this because you've had so many multiple bites at the apple here. And, you know, we got nothing. Because absolutely nothing. And we've seen teams that even with a quarterback that's not top 10, still be consistent playoff teams. You know, like you don't need necessarily to have one of the best quarterbacks. Look at what the Vikings just did with Sam Darnold. You know, Sam Darnold been a reclamation project. They won 14 games. You can still build a great roster even if you don't have the most elite quarterback.
Yeah, but not if you're dealing with the chaos in the front office of Cleveland. Nobody can. Not even Kevin Costner. I mean, listen, the dude traded up for a linebacker, number one. I think there's the history of
in the movie Drafted.
The guys before, for example, Andrew Berry, were John Dorsey, still has a great reputation, I think. He kind of built the Chiefs. And Sashi Brown, I think Sashi Brown is working somewhere now. Like, he immediately got a big job. I think people will say, oh, you're with the Browns. Like, what do you expect? I mean, that happens all over industry and sports. Like, if you work for a crazy owner, I don't know. Like, you wear it, like...
I don't know if I keep signing contract extensions with them if I feel like the owner's holding me back. 888-710-4ISN, yes.
The Cowboys are a mess, but everyone blames Jerry, not Will McClay.
Is Stefanski going to wear any of it?
That's the interesting one, because I think he'll get a job fast, which is interesting, because I think everybody wants a really good play caller. I think Stefanski gets a head coaching job, even if they're terrible. Don't you? And we all kind of, he's a two-time coach of the year for one thing. But I think like he calls that Kubiak-Shanahan offense as good as anyone. So I think he would get a job really fast.
And yeah, let's not forget Shallow.
I'm just looking up really quickly how many coach of the year Bill Belichick has won.
I think it's
two.
One or two. Yeah, not
three
a lot.
For the Associated Press. Three-time Pro Football Writers. So he's won three and has six Super Bowls. And Kevin Stefanski has won two coach of the years.
Tell
me this award is broken without telling me it's broken.
Brian Daboll has won.
Yeah, that's also silly.
You know, a young offensive coordinator play caller is catnip to these owners.
I know.
They will, I think, and I think the funny thing is, does Stefanski wear it? In my opinion, no. I think it's the Browns.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got a pet peeve. I've got to get off my chest. We'll do that next. Plus, we will look at what does a successful season look like for these NFL teams. Don't worry, plenty of college football coming your way as well. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Woof, woof.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Can I tell you something that embarrasses me every single time it happens? I don't know if this happens
What's
to you
that?
Guys. So obviously we're kind of like online. You know, we kind of have to be because we're on social media quite a bit.
When you trip on your gigantic feet.
Well, that happens so much I've stopped being embarrassed by it. This is a way
Can't
of life.
To that.
A way of life for me. When somebody posts something on social media and you go to like it and you realize they posted it 10 seconds ago, it's like, oh, I didn't mean to love it.
Yeah, I know. Gotcha.
It's such a facepalm. I don't know if that happens to me. I know we're kind of unique because we're so tied to the news and social media, but has that happened to you, Pearl?
You know what? I get alerts on my phone, so sometimes, and it's rarely, I don't like a lot of posts.
Mm.
So, but sometimes I see like so-and-so, and let's say it's a friend, post something personal, and I see it immediately, and I like it. But I feel like that's kind of normal because people know you have alerts coming to your phone, at least on X. On Instagram, maybe. Is this more of an Instagram thing?
It can be both. It can be both. I've done it multiple times on multiple platforms. Facebook, I mean, everyone you're possibly on, I've done this. And especially when it's like an acquaintance and it's not like a, if it's my best friend, what do I care, right? But if it's like someone who's an acquaintance and it kind of feels like maybe you're stalking their social because you liked it right away.
Now, me personally, I'm petrified that I come off as chronically online.
Yeah.
I don't really want that. So that's why I'll turn off my phone and give it about 60 seconds before I turn it back on.
60 whole seconds.
That
wow.
Solves it.
That is a way to hold back.
I know what you mean, though. I've tried to cut out the phone. It's just sitting there waiting for you to look at it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Well, when I was single, that was the tricky thing was you don't want to look too thirsty, right?
Yeah.
A girl,
yeah.
You know, post a picture and you know you go to like it, but you got to check and see, all right, how many people have liked this. You don't want to be the first one unless you're just, I don't know, a crazy man and you're like, yeah, I like it,
or you're that thirsty.
Well, so Dan Soder, the comedian who's married to Katie Nolan, right, they're kind of funny power couple, media couple. Dan Soder has such a funny bit about how Instagram will show you so many people liked this post and someone you know, and especially if it's like a bikini picture of a model or something, it's like 50,000 people like this and Billy, you horny guy. Well, Dan's bit on this is hilarious. Jackalone.
Well, back in the day,
I just pulled that up.
In the early days of Instagram, there used to be a page where you could see like people's activities.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see like what like, you know, Bogish is liking on social media.
Andrew Bogish and Andrew Perloff liked the picture by M. Rata.
Why?
Emily Ratajkowski wearing yoga pants, guys.
It was destroying men. Destroying everybody, but definitely men. Destroying them.
Well, it's a big topic of conversation about whether it's disrespectful for men in a relationship to like photos or send messages to pretty women. You know, even if they're celebrities and stuff,
that's a
just
controversy?
Say, well, no, I think most of the people who are controversial are dead now.
Yeah.
But I do think it happens, or guys get used to liking model photos, and then you get into a relationship, and someone's like, why are you liking Giselle? Maybe Giselle's a bad one. Sydney Sweeney, why are you liking her photos when we're in a relationship?
Yeah, no, that's a real thing.
I think it's a thing.
Yeah, that's also called insecurity.
From the woman's side of you.
Oh, 100%.
See, this is, and now you're in a fight.
Listen,
and now the weekend's ruined.
Listen, you know, like there's Batman year one and EJ year one of my relationship, which is now my fiance. It wasn't even likes. It was just, I'm on Instagram and it's like, who's that? Why is that? Why are you following that person?
Oh, just following.
Yeah. And I'm like, I've knew this person or I followed them before I met you. And it's like, why didn't you unfollow them?
But like also,
it's a thing.
Is it famous people, though, or people who could actually be a threat to your relationship? Because Sydney Sweeney is not walking through that door. Anne Hathaway.
That's it.
EJ's big celebrity crush.
Why is Maggie crushing dreams?
It's not.
You don't know what's going to happen, Maggie.
It's not Anne Hathaway famous, but it may be like a model or maybe like just some woman that has 10,000 followers because she's cute or whatever.
It's
like, not someone that I would probably ever meet or know.
Exactly. So why are you getting all angry and stuff? I'm never going to meet Sydney Sweeney. I'm never going to meet any of these people. It's not that big of a deal.
Why are you liking her photos?
Because she's a famous person. I'm helping her brand.
Oh, yeah. She definitely needs your help, Manny.
Yeah. Where would Sydney Sweeney be without that one like from Manny Rodriguez?
Damn right.
Why would you like, for example, LeBron tweet or Instagram? Like, what's the point of liking that? So you sit and you like celebrities' posts?
Well, sometimes you want to do it for your algorithm. So, like, I want to make sure I see LeBron post. I want to make sure I see whatever. Or, like, you know, for the Knicks, maybe I want to make sure I see these guys' post. You want to like it. Therefore, Instagram knows to keep showing it to you.
Yeah. Mm.
Now,
that's a good excuse.
But if you want, same thing though. If you want to keep liking M. Rada's posts, you want to keep seeing them, you should keep liking them, keep staying on the page. Like, that's how this stuff works.
I don't like them, and I still see them.
Well, she's super famous. Yeah. She probably has a deal with Instagram.
What's up with your algorithm?
By the way, you don't want to like see that page.
You don't have to like them. Just if you're on it for 3 seconds, and boom, you're getting a lot of. But that immediately gets it.
But right? Bogish, does Katie mind if you follow beautiful women on Instagram?
I don't think she... No.
She doesn't care.
No, I mean, no. Because, I wouldn't care if she liked Brad Pitt or Matthew McConaughey
That's a healthy
photo. Like, it doesn't matter.
You guys are going to last.
I think it would matter if it was non-celebrities. Like, I don't follow random hot girls, but I follow some famous hot girls. Like,
you guys
the ones you mentioned, I follow.
Like if the boob shot comes on Twitter, you got to get off that instantly, or you're seconds,
or the conspiracy you're gonna get theory videos.
Yeah, like Maggie was like, "Why is my timeline filled with conspiracy?"
Yeah,
theory?
All I've been doing is talking about the JFK assassination for the last 6 months.
But you probably watched a video,
right?
And then boom, you're dead. Like if you got to get off, you got to move fast off that boob shot, or you're in trouble.
Every time, no, I've spent
boob shot, Pearl. That's
we can do.
No,
it.
I mean,
that's impossible.
Men know this. Trust me, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if you watch a, do not click that video. Just get off fast. Otherwise, your feed is going to be all boob shots.
I've
so.
Spent minutes. Whenever I feel like my algorithm is going south, it's like I would just spend minutes hitting not interested, not interested, not interested. Mm. And it'll set my kind of algorithm back. But yeah, no, as soon as they think you want something, they're going to be like, here you go, 100% of the time.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'm like, what are these idiots talking about today? And I'll watch something about aliens or whatever.
Or it's
you
like
stare at women who are breastfeeding?
And then there's like nine in a row.
Or it's like a clip of Denise Richards making out with a woman in that movie. Like
Wild
you watch a Wild Things clip for 2 seconds, you're done for life.
Wild,
you got to get off that.
Wait, do you not know this movie?
Man, you don't know about Wild Things?
Wow, that's crazy.
Nev Campbell's the other woman.
That's Wild crazy that you never seen that clip. No, what our former boss Spike Essing always said, and I've had this issue. The worst one.
I see
me,
a bunch of Vince Vaughn.
No.
The worst
Major League Wild Thing?
No.
No. Is it called Wild
That's
Thing?
That's Ricky Vaughn. Anyway.
The movie's called something else.
Vince Vaughn. Yes, Ricky Vaughn.
Wasn't it called Wild Things?
Yeah.
It was called Wild Things? Wild Things? I don't know.
Bill Murray.
Anyway, EJ, finish your shot. Then you turn your mic off for a sec.
No, so say, Spike Eskin, he used to always talk about these weird videos where guys are going to like Nashville's Broadway or some very popular area to talk to very intoxicated drunk girls and ask them.
Oh, Hawk Tua.
Yeah.
How she got famous.
Yeah, kind of how that started, right? And like ask them like these very sexual provocative questions. Like those videos, they want to just throw down. Like every time I see those, I'm like not interested. Like those are the worst. I hate those videos so much.
I'm very interested in this.
Seem kind of harmless, but anyway.
What the? What's your body count? I don't want to know some random girl's body. That's weird.
How about this? Do you like to see videos when people ask, what's your salary? Do you see those?
How much would you make?
Okay.
Never heard of those.
Okay. Yeah, or how much you pay for rent. There's a lot of them in Manhattan.
Yeah, but that's like a New York thing, I think.
It's like a guy who goes around people's apartments and they let them inside.
So our own Andrew Kaplan is asking, how would you know who your significant other follows on social media? Interesting question.
Well, you can check.
You check their followers, unless they're
right. Or they're sitting next to you.
Is there a trust factor there? Maybe.
Nope.
Also, the chat asking Bogish, go through Katie's phone today and see who she follows. Then let's see how you feel. LOL.
I couldn't care less.
I don't think I really could.
Only Morrell said that.
I'm more likely to follow Daniel Craig than she is. I don't know. Like who's I'm always like, wow. I'm always trying to get her to admit that she's interested in a handsome guy in a movie, and she does not care. She's like, dude, I have a life. Like I'm not going to sit there. And
I'm busy.
Yeah, I'm not.
Is your wife you're talking about. So
yeah, she's like, I'm not 12.
I live it with you.
Even my 14-year-old's over that. Like that's the teenagers. By the way. That is a complicated web. That's intense. I have a 14-year-old at home, and who likes what? That is front page news. Oof. Like Billy liked this post from Anna, and it's just geez, stop the presses.
Whole day one.
Oh my God! If you're single and you're young, then it's totally different today. But we're old. Like, what do we all care?
speak for yourselves.
Flip side is always when you see some certain people start liking your post, and you're like, what does this mean?
They love me.
Is this a green light or no?
They sweat me.
What I like to do is send DMs to Jalen Brunson. That's how I get.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Any response?
Yeah, no, not yet.
He's definitely seen those.
Let's get to Bogish.
I would hope so.
With the latest and greatest, what's up, dude?
He still doesn't have that mega extension, but Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson expected to end his holdout and check into training camp this morning. This is apparently Hendrickson showing his desire to reach an agreement with the team. We're told the two sides still arguing over the amount of guaranteed money in a new contract. Dolphins O-lineman Byron Matos reportedly left the hospital over the weekend after being airlifted there following an injury during practice last week. We still don't know the exact injury or the prognosis, but we were told last week that Matos had movement in all his extremities. Brave star Ronald Acuna Jr. missed most of last season, got a late start to this one with a torn ACL. He was back to form until the last few days in Kansas City. Acuna pulled from right field in the sixth inning of a 9-6 Braves win last night after struggling to run down two balls, the team calling it right Achilles tightness and putting him on the IL. Manager Brian Snitker.
The doctor said it'd probably be at least 10 days. And you just, again, everybody heals differently, so, you know, it's just one of them things you don't want to mess with.
Acuna said he was worried about the injury. He said he first felt something running the bases Monday night, but did not want to sit out last night since he has missed so many games in recent memory. The Mets believe they dodged the bullet last night. Juan Soto made an early exit after fouling a pitch off his foot.
I think we're going to be good. We just got to get the swelling down. Whenever the swelling is down, I think we're going to be fine. I mean, the x-rays are negative, so it's a good sign. So we just got to wait for the swelling to come down and go back to where I'm at.
As he said, x-rays negative. He's day-to-day for now. The Mets lost the game 7-1. Manny Machado capping off a 5-run seventh with a 3-run blast for the
Padres. That's what's in.
The Giants took a 3-1 home loss from the Pirates. They've now dropped 5 straight overall and their last 7 home games. Kyle Schwarber, a 2-run homer in the Phillies, 6-3 win at the White Sox. And the Brewers beat the Cubs again, 9-3 for a 2-game lead atop the NL Central. In WNBA last night, the Aces took care of the Sparks, 89-74. Asia Wilson, 34 points and 10 boards. Cam Brink had 5-3 in 13 minutes in her season debut for L.A. Brink tore an ACL 13 months ago. Guys, back to you.
You're not going
to
do the sex toy thing every hour?
I am not.
Okay. I guess people can...
That's a crazy question you asked them.
Yeah, that is crazy. Somebody threw a sex toy on the court. I should have worded that differently.
Adult toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You also should...
I can do the sex
get your
thing.
Jolly somewhere else.
<That's crazy.
laughs> I think get my jolly somewhere else. You're the one who brought. I didn't even see it until
I brought it up once because it was news, and then you want it every hour.
Well, I don't want it. I was just asking if you're going to do it.
I think one sex
it's
toy
all
does,
going worse.
It does not mean anything. If it's a trend, then we're going to have to really, you know, dig into the story. Well, yeah, but just one. I don't know what you're going to do with that. That's not worth every hour.
Go Bills.
It starts to become a trend, then I think that. Maybe we have a segment around this.
Should I do my sportsman today, asking people not to make this a trend? Like, let's not copycat this.
Do we really need to give a PSA on this topic?
Didn't work in Buffalo. Kept throwing him at Tom Brady for years.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm wet. I'm dirty.
On this topic, do you think there's going to be some strongly worded op-eds about how this is wrong, or? I don't know. I'm not even sure. I don't even totally understand like what people are trying to send them. Whatever the message is, it's lost on me.
It feels different to throw this on the court at a women's sporting event than a men's.
But it is slightly confusing though, right?
Yeah, it's kind of odd. But apparently the women were laughing at it. I went to go look at the story once Bogus brought our attention to it.
Stuff all over the place.
They were laughing. They were taking it in stride. It feels a little weird to do that at a women's basketball
game. But for the Bills, there is like an official fan guide on how to bring sex toys into the stadium. And it does say don't throw them during a play because if someone trips on that.
It's a flag.
No, I mean, you could really like, you could ruin a career. I mean, that happens all the time where people trip on sex toys and tear an ankle sprain.
He's worried about 15-yard penalties and he's over here worrying about ligaments.
Listen, I don't want to lose a game that way.
Justin Field hurt his pinky toe and it was...
in weird ways, Manny. Like, trust me.
But when you say official, do you mean it's posted at bills.com next to their clear bag policy?
No, it's whitehouse.gov.
I mean, you should see the image. It says there's a beer can with a X through it. There's a battery, like the batteries that fuel mobile bikes. And then there's a sex toy.
A shrug, like only the right time.
Yeah. Five-year-old Bills fan. Mommy, what's that?
If there's any fan base where a sign like that would exist, it would be in Buffalo.
Well, you know, sometimes they have like designated tailgating areas. They are like, this is the designated area where you can throw stuff. It's not totally banned. Just it's got to be in this area away from the kids. 888-710-4ISN. Coming up, what does a successful season look like for these NFL teams? We'll do that next.
Go Bills.
We like to set the expectations for certain NFL teams, Pearl. Like we like to live in reality, I think. So we've been doing a segment called What Would a Successful Season Look Like for These Teams? We've been doing 4 a day, all different types of teams, all different places in the standings. So EJ will give us a team. We'll tell you what a successful season would look like for them. Go ahead, EJ.
All right. So let's begin with the Jacksonville Jaguars. A successful season for the Jacksonville Jaguars would be
to me, if you want to go macro, it's got to be playoffs. If you want to go micro, it's got to be Trevor Lawrence looks like a top six quarterback in this league with Liam Cohen now, and Travis Hunter gets through the season injury-free. So there's a three-pronged approach here. Playoffs, you're in a division that is, you know, I think it's winnable.
Duval.
You have a generational quarterback, or so we thought. Time for that to start showing itself. And also, Travis Hunter's got to make it through the season healthy. What about you, Pearl?
Yeah, I can't go any different. I totally agree. It's got to be about Trevor Lawrence. I don't know about the playoffs. Like, if they're 8-9 and Trevor Lawrence looks good and promising, I think you'd feel good about Liam Cohen. Because they are kind of, they're a bit of a rebuild, let's face it. Like, the core of that team that was really, really good in 2017 is long, long gone. They have holes all over their roster. Their defense definitely has major question marks. So I think to say this is a playoff ultimatum is unfair, but you're right. You got to see Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence work well together.
We are in year 5 of Trevor Lawrence. It's time to start really making the playoffs a regular thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, look at that team, though.
They've had so many top picks. They should be no doubt.
Yeah,
they just can't pick up. They can't pick a coach.
Well, listen, they honestly made a lot of mistakes. Like, they took Trayvon Walker right before Aiden Hutchinson, although he's playing a little better, but. And they took Travis Etienne in the first round. Now they apparently don't want him. And they've made a lot of bad picks.
Who's next?
Duval.
Set to the ATL, a successful season for the Atlanta Falcons would be.
Oh, my God. I mean, the same. This is rinse, wash, and repeat. The Atlanta Falcons have to make the playoffs with all these first-round picks all over. Normally, like we said, well, Michael Penix has to look good. No, there's no Michael Penix looks good. You have to be in the postseason or Arthur Blank's head is going to explode. Like, it is long overdue that they finally win this division. And I got to be honest, I felt better about them last year than I do this year. So this is, you have stars, you have a young quarterback. Like, it is playoffs now or never. And all you have to do is make it. You don't have to win anything now.
Yeah, I think Penix. Win the division. Got to be, right?
And that's how they're going to make
the playoffs. Think that there's going to be a wild card team that's going to come from the NFC South. So win the division. Got to be. And, you know, I think also, and on top of that, I think Penix has to also look really good, which is now going to be another drop that Manny's going to play. I don't know what to do, guys. It's his last name.
By the way,
Michael P.
One of the probably biggest storyline to me that people aren't talking about out of Atlanta. Did you know that we were all pronouncing Bijan Robinson's name wrong?
Yeah,
I saw that and I felt like a dope because we've interviewed him.
Why
before.
Did you feel like a dope?
Well, because we like to pride ourselves and when people come on the show, treating them with a lot of respect as a guest, and we've had him on the show and we call him Bijan, and apparently it's Bijan.
Yeah, but he had not. Why was that our fault? He had not been correcting people for years.
I'm assuming it had to be in the Texas media guide when we talked to him, but I don't know. Felt a little silly.
I think people had openly called him Bijan, and he responded to it and never, ever said anything. Like, this happened many times where players have been like, everyone's been saying my name wrong for all these years, but I didn't want to say anything. And that's what he said. So.
Yeah. Travis and Travis Kels.
Also,
apparently it's not pronounced Kelsey.
Saquon said that Bijan is better than him at cutting, too. So there's a lot of expectations. But again, how many years are we going to do this with the Falcons? Like, oh, my God, they have so much talent. Do something. Just please make the playoffs.
All right, let's head down to Maryland, the Baltimore Ravens. A successful season for the Baltimore Ravens would be?
Win the Super Bowl. I mean, it sounds simple. It's been really, really hard. You got a 2-time MVP. You don't have to go through the bona fides of what the Ravens bring to the table. You have a Super Bowl winning head coach. I just did it. Win the Super Bowl. That's it. Period.
Okay. I agree with you, but let me ask you a question. If Lamar Jackson just gets to a Super Bowl, that is, I think, a bit of an identity changer. Because he would mean he would get there before Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would jump him on the quarterback list. I think that would be, you're right, this team should win the Super Bowl. But I think getting to a Super Bowl would be a big deal for Lamar Jackson.
Okay, but that definitely helped Joe Burrow, right? Getting to the Super Bowl, like raised his, you know, his stock was already really high, but raised it even more. But as it lasted, like, you know, if we're talking about a potentially all-time great player, a 2-time MVP, don't you have to win it?
I think there's a major difference between Dan Marino and Philip Rivers. Rivers never made a Super Bowl. At least Marino made one Super Bowl. He hasn't even gotten, you know, they should have won 2 years ago. They should have been there. I think if they get to it and say they lost to, a team out of Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, that's what I'm dreaming, an all-bird matchup. I think that would be a big deal for Lamar because he's been really bad in the playoffs, Maggie. I mean, like, to get to the Super Bowl would mean he would at least get some of that off of his back.
Yeah, but what if he gets to the Super Bowl and doesn't play well? Then it, like, reinforces that, oh, you're this playoff. I don't say choker. I don't think he's got – it's not that bad yet, but
– Well, yeah, but he would have to get through Kansas City and Buffalo to get there. So I think I would not worry about that.
Penix has to also look really good. Worse.
Okay.
Can this guy change his last name, please?
And final one here. We're going to head to Tinseltown. A successful season for the Los Angeles Rams would be?
I'm going to say NFC title game, but they kind of need Matthew Stafford to be healthy for that. So because they were arguably the second best team in the NFC last year. They played the Eagles. It was snowy, and the Eagles let their foot off the pedal. But they were probably the second best team in the NFL, and they're young, except for Stafford. So right now, I think they probably upgraded because Cooper Kupp was ever healthy. So they have Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. There's no better receiving core than that. If you have Stafford out on the field and you have Jared Verse and all the young defenders, like, there's no reason that they shouldn't be a real factor in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to go one step below that. I think divisional round, you know, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, I think is what people about expect.
What would be successful?
A season where do people think that was successful?
Right. But
and
don't
they
you
lost
have to,
in the divisional round.
Yeah, but don't you have to take the next step?
You know, I don't know, because Stafford is not even going to training camp yet because his back is sore. So I'm trying to keep this as reasonable as expectations as possible. I mean, the guy's a year older. They went through this contract dance in the offseason. They basically told him, try to go find a better deal. I don't know. I think if you get to the divisional round, and as long as you don't lose to the Lions, I think you're probably in. People will say, "Oh, look at Sean McVay. You know, he did it. He did it again." You know.
Man, I think it'd be bad if they lost. If they do make the playoffs and they lose in the divisional round, I think it's rebuild time, right? I mean, then Stafford's gone because he's 37. Like, yeah, what's the point?
This could be his last season anyway.
If you're gonna hit that wall, but why would you not think? Oh man, we are really, like, we've been, now that we're back into the draft pick game, like, we've been killing it. You know. I think that they view these young defensive guys like, whoa, we got something pretty special here.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I'm not that bullish that Stafford's going to be able to make it through a season. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, if any of those caught your eye.
I also think, by the way, did you see the story that Devontae Adams tried to correct the narrative on Jimmy G?
I did see
that. He said that was just, we were all miserable with the Raiders. I honestly think, and you probably disagree with this, that Jimmy G could win a bunch of games with Sean McVay. I don't think this team. I don't know. I saw Jimmy G doing it with Kyle Shanahan. Why couldn't he do it with McVay? I'm not saying they're going to be 13-4 with Jimmy G, but I feel like that's a very high end backup.
Okay, that's fine. But when you say a bunch of games, you mean playoff games? You mean regular season games?
I think if Stafford's hurt during the regular season, but it's not season ending, I feel like Jimmy G can hold the fort and then they can get to the playoffs where they would be really tough because I think that they've kind of designed themselves now where they can be a running team or a passing team, and their defense, if this pass rush looks like it did at the end of last year, like, whoa, that could be a real problem. So I think Jimmy G could keep them alive to get out of the NFC West. And then in my fantasy here, Stafford gets healthy again for the playoffs.
I'm not as bullish on Jimmy G. I think it's been a while since we've seen him have some success. And, you know, Devontae Adams can try to paper mache over this whole thing. He said, he's getting me killed and I want him benched. He's throwing him hospital balls out there. I don't think anything will work out well if they have to count on Jimmy G for more than 2-3 games.
Gosh, I think I have so much more faith in Sean McVay. I feel like he can do some things. I picture him as he's almost exactly the same person as Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan had, there's no doubt, great success with Jimmy G.
Yeah,
remember when
ago.
Jimmy G came in 2 years ago and he ended up getting hurt again, of course, but he was awesome.
Do you remember when they kept him away from the meeting rooms because they were so enthralled with Trey Lance that they basically jettisoned him and then had to come back with their tail between their legs? I mean, there.
And then what happened?
Well, but there wasn't a lot of faith. I mean, I don't know.
No, I know. And then he still played really, really well.
Can we back this up, though? Not just about the Rams, but about the Ravens. When we're talking about Super Bowl, whether I think they need to win it or you think they just need to get there. There was some news yesterday out of the Ravens camp with Isaiah Likely. Unfortunately suffering an injury. That one stuck with me for a second. It's like, ooh, this could be, you know, first of all, the Ravens need all the offensive help they can get, right? Yes.
Yeah.
As far as receivers are concerned.
But they have a million of them now.
I think likely is a big target for them. I would be very, very concerned about this. Now, it looks like it's not going to be season ending, so that's a really good thing, but maybe I just have Mark Andrews' last playoff game in my mind. But he was like dropping balls everywhere. I don't know how he's going to respond to this. Likely, I felt like, is going to take an even bigger step forward. Uh-oh. We know that sound means breaking news. You don't look like you have a smile on your face, EJ.
Well, no, we're talking about Isaiah Likely, and it's ironic you mentioned him because we just got word from Jeremy Fowler, who says that Isaiah Likely suffered a small foot fracture during Tuesday's practice. If all goes well, it's an early season return, and week one is possible.
All right.
That's pretty crazy. Well, yeah, that's worse. Yesterday it was 3 or 4 weeks, right? Because they thought it was originally a lower leg injury. Then Harbaugh came out and said it's just his ankle. But I guess his foot.
Feet, I don't like. I don't love that. Also, okay.
But well,
I know because I have gigantic feet. I know, Manny. Yeah. I do. And I know you say that they have this great, like all these weapons.
Yeah, yes, now that they've
Derrick
loaded
Henry
up.
For sure.
Yeah.
They got Zay Flowers.
Yeah, who's, if he could keep his head straight on, is great.
And then they have Rashad Bateman.
Who they love.
And DeAndre Hopkins is washed up.
Well, and then they have Tez Walker, the kid out of North Carolina, who they're getting good. I mean, that's a lot of receivers. And they obviously have a Hall of Fame level tight end ahead of Isaiah Likely. That's why I'm saying, like, of all the teams that lose a tight end, like not most people have Mark Andrews. They have this two-headed tight end monster.
Again, maybe I'm just remembering the last we saw of Mark Andrews was he cost them a trip to the AFC championship game, probably.
They have Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Like, how many receivers do you need? And Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, but see, the thing about Henry, who's phenomenal, and we all know we love Derrick Henry, but there are certain games where he's not effective.
Guy ran for 1,900 yards last year.
Right, but what happened in the playoffs? Right?
Well, he ran all over the Steelers to start with.
Okay, well, that's fine. But then what happened? Like, there are times where when, you know, the Bills got off to a big start in that game and all of a sudden you couldn't really deploy your secret weapon. Now, you're not so secret weapon. So,
well,
you know,
still, I mean,
running backs are always dependent a little bit on how the game flow's going.
Right, but he's still, that's got to be one of the most successful running back seasons in the history of the NFL. He had 1,921 yards. I mean, and Lamar Jackson runs, too. So
right, but what's the expectation? It's not put up big numbers. The expectation is Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had the number one offense by a mile last year. That is one of the great offenses of all time. I think they can weather this storm. Their issue is they got to stay healthy on defense, right? Like, the offense was immaculate last year. And the other thing, too, is they have a little problem here.
What's that?
That the Buffalo is granted the easiest division in the NFL and it's going to get home field a lot over them. But we're there in a tough division. Then again, they blew it at home a couple years ago. So they need decent weather. Lamar is not good in cold weather.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? I think that some point that becomes a real criticism on Lamar.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's been playing now. It's not, I know he's from Florida and played college ball at Louisville, but you've been in Baltimore for years now. It's not warm there in the winter. It's freezing in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean,
you play in a cold weather place, you've got to be a good cold weather quarterback. Like, that's not an option. You know, unless
true.
You're Jared Goff, who's not a great cold weather quarterback, so we say, but at least he's indoors. Like, but you got this, it's a non-negotiable.
Kids from Florida, I get it. You get that, you know, your blood is thin.
Brett Favre was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He's an amazing cold weather quarterback.
Hey, I'm not saying it's okay, but listen, Lamar needs to get a warm playoff game. That's just the reality, Maggie.
Coming up, we are asking one big question about the quarterback, and this one is in the state of Florida. We'll get to that next, M&P. I have gigantic feet. I know, Manny. Yeah. I do.